Exodus 34, verses 6 and 7 read, "The Lord passed before him, Moses, and proclaimed, 'The Lord, the Lord, a God merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love and faithfulness, keeping steadfast love for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin, but who will by no means clear the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers on the children and the children's children to the third and the fourth generation.'" Hello, and welcome back to Think This Way. This is the podcast of Faith Bible Church, and I am your host, Pastor Bryce. And today we begin a new quarter. I apologize there was no podcast last week. It's been a busy time. But I am hoping to have one every week for you this quarter. And I hope so, especially because this is my favorite of any quarter that we have in the three-year rotation here at Faith Bible. This quarter is on God, or what we might call theology proper, the study of God and pressing in to know him. Just like last quarter on the Bible, we had focused in on a single passage and let that be a kind of springboard for the episodes of the podcast whole quarter. We are doing the same this time. The passage that I've chosen is Exodus 34, verses 6 and 7. There's good reason for that, which I will discuss here shortly. But just so you know, that's what we're planning to do. I've titled today's episode, "Show Me Your Glory," the reason being because of the context of Exodus 34, verses 6 and 7. You might already be familiar with this chapter of the Bible. It's happening at Mount Sinai. Moses is up on Mount Sinai interceding with God. When we think of him interceding on Sinai, you might at first think of his intercession when Israel made a golden calf, and God had threatened to destroy the whole nation, and rightly so, for turning immediately to idolatry. And yet Moses interceded, God spared the people. So that is what Moses was doing up on the mountain. He'd received the Ten Commandments. He was interceding for the people. But he actually had made another request, one that's maybe less well known. And this happened in chapter 33 of Exodus. In verse 15, Moses says, "If your presence will not go with me, do not bring us up from here." The request here was that God himself would go with Israel as they went to the land of Canaan. And God had said, "This is a very sinful nation. I will send my angel. If I go myself, I will destroy you." And Moses is begging that God himself will go with the people. That is the sign that God favors them, that he is there in their midst. That's why there were the instructions for the tabernacle, that God would be dwelling there in a special way above the cherubim. And so Moses is interceding in this case, not that God wouldn't destroy Israel, but that God would go with them into the land of promise. And God grants that request, verse 17, "This very thing that you have spoken I will do, for you have found favor in my sight, and I know you by name." Having received that request, Moses gets the courage to make his most audacious ask yet. Very famously in verse 18 of chapter 33, he says, "Please show me your glory." Now, Exodus 34, 6, and 7, which I read at the start of this podcast, is God's answering that request. Moses wanted to see God's glory, and God let Moses hear his glory. The benefit of that being we get to hear his glory too. We will discuss that more next week. But what I want to say right now about it is, you would think when Moses is on the mountain making that request, "Show me your glory," you might think, didn't Moses already see God's glory? I mean, if anyone on earth saw God's glory in their lifetime, wouldn't it have been Moses? Didn't he see God's glory when he was in Egypt and through a series of 10 plagues, God destroyed that powerful nation? Didn't he see God's glory at the Red Sea, where God opened up a body of water so that they could pass through and then made it crash upon their enemies? Didn't God show Moses his glory? Even at Sinai to that point, it was a massive mountain entirely on fire, billowing smoke into the air. There was thunder. There was the sound of trumpets. It was a terrifying sight. The people did not want to even go near it. And God told them they couldn't or they would die. That was a revelation of God's glory. So more than even for us, In terms of seeing God's glory, you would think, Moses, you've done it. You know, you're kind of spoiled in that regard. You've seen so much of God's glory, more than most humans ever will. And that is why it's amazing Moses makes this request. And it seems almost out of the blue to us in chapter 33. He just blurts out, please show me your glory. The reason for that must, of course, be that Moses realized for all the glory that he had seen, there was more glory to be seen. And that is the connection between Moses and us today. You have seen God's glory. If you've trusted in Jesus Christ, you've seen God's glory. You've seen it in his providence in your life, but you've seen it in the scriptures. You've seen it in the things that you've learned about God as he's revealed them to you in his word. You have seen God's glory, but like Moses, the believer's heart always cries out, God, please show me more of your glory. That is not just a Moses thing, it is a believer thing. You see it in David in Psalm 27, verse 4. One thing have I asked of the Lord, he says, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord, which is where God's presence uniquely is, all the days of my life, to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. So the Christian heart is always crying out to God, please show me your glory. Not that we haven't beheld some of his glory by faith, but knowing there is more of God's glory to see, we crave it. Now, this craving is best fostered in an environment that appreciates what we will call a high view of God. And as we talk about the attributes of God this quarter and just about theology proper this quarter, I do want to reinforce that. That is one of our distinctives, one of our pieces of culture, if you will, here at Faith Bible Church, something that's been very important to us as a local fellowship since the very beginning. It is a high view of God. In fact, the very first sermon ever preached at Faith Bible Church was preached by Ernie Godshall, and it was titled, A High View of God. So this has mattered to us from the beginning. When we say a high view of God, we really just mean a realistic view of God. It's us with Moses saying, there's so much more of God we have not seen. And realizing that God created us with the capacity to understand true things about him and to respond in loving worship to those things. And that's what satisfies our souls more than just consuming stuff or having experiences. We were created to behold God's glory, and we cannot find satisfaction apart from that. And therefore, our hearts are always crying out, we want to see more of God. It's an environment that appreciates a high view of God that stirs us up to maintain that focus, that life is about beholding more of God's glory and helping other people to do the same. If you have a small view of God, if you think he's relatively unimportant or you act that way in your life, if that's the environment that you are in, low view of God, really high view of man and how important man is and his feelings and his worth and so forth, if you elevate those things, what you will find is that it will feel like you've already seen all of God's glory that there is to see. You will not have a burning passion to see more of his glory. And that is a tragedy because that's what we were made for. We were not even ultimately made for ourselves. God calls us to love others, but that is not even ultimately what we were made to do. We were ultimately made to see his glory, to cherish it, hence to glorify him and to help others to do the same thing. Hence, a high view of God, really we just mean a realistic view of God, a recognition that there is so much of God. He is so much greater, so much more than we imagine him to be, so much bigger than our small thoughts of him. That is very, very important. That is really a key element here at Faith Bible Church. A good example of someone who recognized this and encouraged others in it is R.C. Sproul, who's passed away, but had some excellent teaching. And one of the books that he wrote called The Holiness of God, we will have available all this quarter in the foyer for anyone who'd like to purchase it. He wrote it in the early 80s, and it is certainly one of the most important books on theology proper or the study of God that's ever been written. And I know there's not been a lot of history to prove that, but it's certainly been impactful in our generation. This is something that Sproul says in that book. He says that early in his Christian life, something was missing. Quote, "I had abundant zeal, but it was marked by a shallowness, a kind of simplicity that was making me a one-dimensional person. I was a Unitarian of sorts, a Unitarian of the second person of the Trinity. I knew who Jesus was, but God the Father was shrouded in mystery. He was hidden, an enigma to my mind, and a stranger to my soul. A dark veil covered his face." If you have any sense of that in your own life, that you certainly love Jesus, but when it comes to God the Father, it's hard even to understand how we're to think of him. Well, then this quarter is for you. This is an encouragement for us all to realize how very small we are, living as we do on a very tiny little planet, 1.3 million of which could fit into our sun, which itself is a very small star compared to other stars in this massive galaxy, which is itself within a universe full of galaxies, which God says in Isaiah 40, verse 12, he measures with the span of his hand. From his thumb to his pinky, he measures that whole universe. My hope and prayer is that, like Moses on the mountain, we will have a craving to see more of God's glory, and that he will grant us a greater sight of his glory, and that we will have a very high view of him. It's possible that as you're listening to this, there has been a bit of a shallowness about your walk with the Lord, and you'll know that because most of your thoughts will be about other things than God. You will not find him that interesting. You will assume you already know him. Could be that you have low thoughts of God. Well, whatever the case in the past might have been, may God help us all now to think this way.